You're listening to Consider This, episode 244, for the 25th of February, 2019.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever, wherever, and whoever you are, if you're looking for conservative commentary in 10 minutes or less, you found it. This is the award-winning podcast Consider This, and I'm Doug Payton, here with my aforementioned commentary and your feedback. And if you weren't looking for that, hey, this'll be short. The headquarters of the show is at considerthis.ctpodcasting.com. From there, you can find the email address, the phone number, the Facebook page, and a transcript of the show. That's CT as in cornea transplant. Lessons from the Jussie Smollett situation, lessons from the Laura Logan situation, and lessons from the New York City minimum wage. That's a lot to cover, so let's get right to it. Never forget. That's the sort of phrase you hear after events that require a lesson to be learned. It was heard after World War II and the Holocaust. I remember hearing it after 9/11. But here's the thing about forgetting. There's the question about what is it we shouldn't forget, and the fact that we do forget. Anti-Semitism is on the rise in Europe. Is that what comes from never forgetting? And what were we supposed to never forget from 9/11? To hear it from pundits these days, it was to never trust right-wing white guys. But to be fair, over time, we tend to forget quite a bit. Never is a pretty long time, so how long is too long? Well, apparently 1 month is too long, at least for the left-wing media and pundits. Fresh off the half-baked hot takes with the Covington Catholic school kids, comes the reactions to the Jussie Smollett alleged attack. Now, I say alleged because, well, I'm just showing the media that it can be done in cases like this. Now, I understand that something like this is news and needs to be reported. We can't wait until all the facts are in before even mentioning it. Good Monday morning. This just in from last Thursday, someone was attacked. That's not a problem. What is a problem is the politicians, the pundits, and the celebrities deciding that this is what all of America is like based on an accusation less than 24 hours earlier. They passed judgment on all Trump-supporting, MAGA-hat-wearing white guys as racist and homophobic. They'll be careful to note that the Islamic State, ISIS, doesn't represent all of Islam, but these white guys are avatars for all whites. Well, except that they weren't white. And they weren't racist or homophobic. And this wasn't an attack. But it fit the narrative so perfectly that the left just couldn't help themselves from pouncing all over it. Again, in the span of less than a month, throw a MAGA hat on some white kid or adult, literally or dishonestly, and you can say what you want about them. And the left will forget all of the recent lessons about jumping to conclusions. National Review's Andy Ngo noted the reaction of some politicians who arguably can cause much more harm when they act on bad information. 2020 Democratic presidential hopeful Senator Cory Booker described the attack as, quote, an attempted modern-day lynching, close quote. He used the incident to press for more hate crime legislation. California Senator Kamala Harris, who is leading the polls for the 2020 race, repeated Booker's words. Speaker Nancy Pelosi described the attack as, quote, an affront to our humanity, close quote. Freshman Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez castigated the media for describing the incident as a possible hate crime. Her colleague Rashida Tlaib wrote that, quote, the right wing is killing and hurting our people, close quote.
People talk about white privilege. I have a question. What is this? What do you call it when millions of people, some very powerful, believe what you say at face value, attack anyone who is suspicious of the story, and make sweeping generalizations about the whole country based on it? That sounds like some manner of privilege to me. A tweet I read said this: imagine being so privileged that you need to hire people to oppress you.
You know, maybe this sort of hoax is America today. I don't think it's very prevalent, actually, but it would be seriously ironic. But let's give credit where credit is due. There are people in the media, precious few of them, but they do exist, that see the bias in their profession and speak out about it. Bernard Goldberg is a former CBS News journalist who left and wrote the book Bias, a CBS insider exposes how the media distort the news. Cheryl Atkinson is a former CBS News investigative journalist and occasional substitute anchor for the CBS Evening News, who left and wrote the book Stonewalled, One Reporter's Fight for the Truth Against the Forces of Obstruction, Intimidation, and Harassment in Obama's Washington, where she writes about how the network would often spike or whitewash stories about problems of the Obama administration. Now comes word of another journalist calling out the left-leaning bias of the media. Lara Logan is a former foreign affairs correspondent and 60 Minutes reporter for CBS News. And I'm beginning to see a trend here. She went on a podcast to denounce the media's leftward bias, not just in the U.S., but worldwide. And it's not just that 85% of journalists in the U.S. are registered Democrats. The response to that charge is that journalists have biases, but they don't let them filter into their reporting. Logan thinks otherwise.
It's got nothing to do with whether I like Trump or don't like Trump, right? Or whether I believe him or don't believe in him or identify with him, don't, whatever. I don't even want to have that conversation because I approach that the same way I approach anything. I find that is not a popular way to work in the media today. Because although the media has always been, historically, always been left-leaning, we've abandoned our pretense, or at least the effort, to be objective today. The former executive editor of the New York Times has a book coming out, Jill Abramson, and she says we would do, I don't know, dozens of stories about Trump every single day, and every single one of them was negative. She said, we have become the anti-Trump paper of record. Well, that's not our job. That's a political position. That means we've become political activists, in a sense, and some could argue propagandists, right?
Well, right. As loudly as some journalists might react, there's plenty of that going on. Not so much at the local level, but at the national level, it certainly has taken a hold of a number of newsrooms. We knew this, and sometimes people come out from behind the curtain to let us know that we were right. The whole interview is about 3 hours and 40 minutes, and the video of it is linked in the show notes. The language is most definitely not safe for work, so be advised. Unfortunately, as Logan also notes in the interview, this is essentially professional suicide for her. It's the price that the elites expect to be paid for shining a light on them. And finally, some New Yorkers are upset and even surprised that restaurants are raising their prices in response to the higher minimum wage. Honestly, is anyone in New York paying attention at all? Well, if you know someone who is surprised at that, share this podcast with them, wherever they are. It's your civic duty. If you search for the Consider This Podcast in Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or any of a jillion podcast players, you'll find it. Unfortunately, I didn't give too much thought to getting a really unique name, so you may have to peek through the search results, but not very far, hopefully. Or stop by considerthis.ctpodcasting.com and use the links there to subscribe in a lot of different places. Your friends might just thank you for helping them to consider this.